Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. Well, I'm happily married now, with some issues notwithstanding because of our post office and, the fact that Evita is now trying to get her kind of bridal flower bouquet to be preserved. But Latvian post office messed up a bit, and it's a mess now. But then again, you know, nothing really goes 100% as expected in our family. Nonetheless, we're going to go to Texas very soon. I shall be continuing to work because the bills don't pay themselves, and I think I need to keep you updated, especially since now it's a critical moment for Ukraine, but I'm slowly going back to the whole news cycle. However, on April 5th to 6th, interesting things happened. See, I have been speaking about how technological and technological catastrophes are going to happen and increase all over the place in Russia. We've been talking about this in February and in January, in December, all over the place when the pipes were bursting. We spoke about this when they caused an ecological catastrophe in Siberia by basically leaking out gasoline all over the place and making the whole Siberian river system turn red. And it was also possible to burn the water and set it on fire. And also, we have spoken about this before, since in Vladivostok, the local surfer guys, they discovered that they're getting chemical burns from doing surfing, and a bunch of marine wildlife just died out there because of, again, a chemical weapons spill just straight into the ocean. But right now we have another one of these. And that's a bit just a bit insane. According to the latest data, more than 10, we're talking about massive flooding here, and I'll get to this from the beginning. Heavy rain and spring snow melt caused the dam in Russia's southern Oranburg region to collapse in two places, resulting in a flood that has destroyed tons of houses. According to the latest data, more than 10,000 houses are in the flood zone, and around 6,500 people had to be evacuated. Of course, they also were saving pets, and some people did save pets, but there were some difficulties with that. However, there was a bunch of other issues happening. The Russian authorities have declared a state of emergency in the region, with Emergency Situations Minister Alexander Kurenkov calling the situation critical after flying to the city of Orsk. Medical facilities in the region have temporarily stopped performing elective surgeries to preserve resources for urgent procedures, and as multiple hospitals have been also flooded. On Monday, Orsk residents began protesting outside of the city's administration building, demanding compensation payments for their lost homes. Demonstrators chanted, "Putin, help us," and "Shame on you," addressing the local authorities. It's one of those, you know, weird situations when, yet again, it's one of those where one of those the czar is good, the boyars are bad situations. The protests broke out despite the warnings from the Oranburg Regional Prosecutor's Office, which called on the residents to abstain from unauthorized rallies, especially under the current state of emergency. When protesters first began gathering, police tried to disperse them, calling over the megaphone for them to stop the illegal activity. Their efforts quite much, failed, really. Soon after, Orsk Mayor Vasily Kuzupitsa attempted to address the crowd, but the protesters, they repeatedly interrupted him with questions about compensation payments. Eventually, a smaller group of protesters was invited inside to meet with the Oranburg governor, Denis Pasler. Inside the administration building, Pasler initially demanded that the attendees give up their phones for the duration of the meeting. The residents, however, refused, saying that they want to be able to prove what had been said during the meeting and that they didn't trust the press not to manipulate its footage. As you know, people are, after all, not trusting their local press at all. Finally, according to local media, the residents were allowed to film the discussion. After the meeting, Pasler announced that all flood victims who are not staying in temporary accommodations will be given 10,000 rubles per month. That's about $108 at this point. Yeah. For housing for each month, for the next 6 months, and that a commission will be created to assess the scale of the damage and determine the size of the necessary compensation payments. It's like weird. They have determined that it's going to go up to double of this for people who have partially lost something, and up to like $1,000 for people who have lost like a lot of things, because again, because of the how you know, people in Russia, especially outside Moscow and these areas, they're not very rich, and the housing that they mostly lived were still built in Stalin era and Khrushchev, basically all that stuff, you know, the commie blocks. He said, this governor, Basler, that businesses affected by the flooding will receive money to pay their employees. He also vowed to rebuild the breached dam. The local news outlet, Ural 56, reported that the crowd outside the administration building began to disperse while the meeting with the governor was taking place. The outlet Orsk Ru, however, said that the protesters were not leaving. One demonstrator asked whether he was satisfied with the authorities' willingness to hold this meeting, responded that no, of course not. We're talking to people and to you, and meanwhile, the governor left. So, it's a bit of a weird situation. However, this dam breach, it managed to get ultra weird because of the whole situation, how, you know, I've been always calling Russia and a colonial empire, and these guys live in the exploited regions, which is not Moscow and St. Petersburg, which is the metropolis. These people live right next to, well, Kazakhstan, on the border there, if you look at what Orenburg is where Orenburg is located. And, you know, I watch all this Russian propaganda and everything to learn about the Ukrainian war, and we'll get to the weapons deliveries and everything. It's just that getting back to work after actually taking a break is pretty difficult, but I'll get to all this stuff, don't worry. Now, the situation here was that the response from people who were contracted to build this dam in the first place and from the authorities about who was blamed for the whole situation is so dumb that even people who are literally on Russian Channel 1, the propaganda station, they were stumped. And I do have to ask you guys to trust me on this one, because that will sound surreal. And the reports that I've seen, well, yeah, it doesn't even sound that way. But like the responses from people and the avoidance of any responsibility was just insane. Probably most of you have seen videos with this governor driving around in his super ultra expensive boat throughout the situation while people are in canoes. But there are several situations there. First of all, the construction company that built this, when they were asked, well, what happened, in all seriousness, and again, I'm not joking here and not exaggerating, the guy that was interviewed who ran this company stated that, well, obviously rodents were at fault. You know, feet of nature, increasing water levels and rodents. Not even kidding, rodents dug through and caused this situation. And when even our friends like Ms. Skabeyeva, whom I hate personally, and other Russian propagandists in the show started asking, hey, wait a minute, rodents destroyed a dam? What is wrong with you? This is just stupid. Why didn't you check? And then the guy just honestly responded, well, what am I supposed to do? Like, who, me and then my sons and everyone's going to be like hold responsible for how this operates and everything? God, am I supposed to watch over this dam for generations? And then the magic phrase happened, which just made me just stunned, and it felt weird, truly surreal. When he was blatantly asked, you know, everything has kind of a warranty period. And he said, yeah, of course. The warranty for the dam was 3 years, not 30, three. No, seriously, three. A warranty for a dam, apparently built there, was 3 years. Of course, local governor and everyone was just stumped about this, and then they tried to kind of avoid the situation and mix this whole stuff up. So the local governor decided to, instead of taking responsibility for all the cash that had been obviously stolen for an extremely poorly built dam, he decided that, oh no, you know, we can't really predict that in the spring there might be some flooding. And that although the idea of rodents is preposterous, then he started blaming locals for, you know, using the earth from the dam to just, you know, do things in their own little gardens. The problem was the locals were also the first ones to respond to this whole mess because, well, the authorities did nothing at the early period of everything that happened. So the locals rented out like special equipment and tried to stop the whole thing from happening. But, well, that didn't work. And afterwards, as finding any Ukrainian ties to this, whom they could very conveniently and conventionally blame for all this. That was also difficult. So now they've started blaming Kazakhstan for doing this intentionally, because they have been apparently unfriendly with everything's happened in Russia lately. But yeah, we have a massive flood that's just spreading out, and the local authorities are again, you know, blaming the locals and not telling the truth. Worse yet, which was something that truly stunned me, is I did not expect that, because probably I have not lived through such situation, and I've only seen people in Ukraine just helping out each other after Russian missile attacks and everything. After this catastrophe, apparently the first thing that happened was that, and why people, by the way, refused to evacuate the whole place, is because they're afraid of marauders. There have been a lot of cases where, which is why I mentioned these animal rescue people, because a lot of pets have also suffered from this stuff, and I wanted to say something nice about people rescuing animals, but they've been sent away too, because people who are pretending to be some sort of rescuers and something, they just break in people's houses and just ransack and loot everything, and in stores and everything. So a lot of people are literally refusing to evacuate this whole affected area, because they're legitimately afraid that as soon as they leave, everything they own is going to be just stolen by someone else. Which is quite ironic if you look at previous statements about how, of course, Russian troops couldn't have done any marauding in Ukraine, since that is an extremely un-Russian thing to do. Well, now Russians aren't afraid of getting marauded by other Russians over there. And I'll even get to, in a bit of a future episode, about the massive increase in crime rates and the new law that Putin had stated that for light to medium criminal crimes, if you've been into this special military operation, as they say, if you've been fighting in Ukraine and now you have returned, then you can't really get a prison sentence anymore. You can only get a suspended one, which means that, well, people who are beating up their wives and doing lots of horrible things will no longer even fear the prosecution. But, well, we'll have to see how all this develops, but this also does not help. These technological catastrophes are coming together with everything that's happening with the Russian economy and the whole criminalization of society. So that's one big event. But the second event, which I want to talk about, is especially about, well, a person that you all know as listeners of the show as one of our best nemesis. We have news from Igor Girkin yet again. You see, Girkin's wife, Miroslava Reginskaya, well, she posted the following, quote, "When a country is going through a difficult military conflict, not allowing an officer and a patriot with unique experience and knowledge in the military sphere to go to the front is a crime. But this is precisely the critical mistake that the authorities made when they sent Igor Strelkov to prison on political charges of extremism. At the trial, Igor said, 'I serve the fatherland,' and he will never give up his words, despite the extremist article. The request was written to send him to military service. But in January, one of the military units received and approved the candidacy of Igor Strelkov for the post of platoon commander. The head of the selection point for military service under a contract was asked to send Strelkov for military service. This document will be attached to the appeal in court." So, well, that apparently happened. The document itself says that the unit has considered Strelkov's candidacy, and that, again, he asks the unit asks for the documents to be sent to the unit commander. Russian media had reported earlier that Strelkov's defense team had requested to be allowed for him to be allowed to enlist in the army. However, Russian law prevents citizens convicted of extremism from entering into military contracts. That's because, well, most people who are, well, sentenced because of the extremism, yeah, those are usually Russian opposition, but not of the Strelkov kind, but of Navalny and, well, other such things kind. So he might be actually able to go there. It would be really sad if he'd die instead, they are in Ukraine, instead of actually facing actual justice in the Hague. Although, then again, there's also a chance that he might be captured by Ukrainian troops, which would be a much better ending to all of this. The Telegram channel Osterozhno Novosti reported that Strelkov's lawyer, Girkin's lawyer, sorry, I will not use the term that he wants me to use, sees, quote, two possible solutions, an acquittal or a presidential pardon. His appeal hearing is scheduled for May the 15th, but, you know, we might know a bit sooner. I think that this is a bit more realistic approach than just, you know, doing nothing, since I believe that this might actually pan out. Now, then again, Strelkov could, seeing his prominence and everything, he could serve as some sort of a basis for another uprising going to Moscow, so it's probably a political decision of what's going to happen. But this certainly is interesting, and we'll be following this in the future. But yeah, sorry for the very shorter episode today. Have things to pack, have Texas to go to, and, well, in case of whatever, I'll let you know. I will keep working, taking my laptop and everything work-related with me, and I hope it's going to all work out. Bit nervous, of course. But yeah, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Please consider supporting the show on Patreon or clicking the donate button on the easternboard.lv. До свидания, товарищи. And remember, happiness is mandatory.